So today is going to be introduction day, okay? And tomorrow probably for that matter. But one thing you have to know is that the introduction to the Sefer is probably the most important part, because what we're going to talk about the next 2 days helps put everything that the Sefer talks about in perspective, because the Sefer is a little bit disjointed, and maybe tomorrow we'll talk about the parts of the Sefer. Let's just give some historical background, because this is really crucial, okay? As anyone who came to the Ruach Chaim Shir knows, the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner, was the primary disciple of the Gaon Mevilna, the Vilna Gaon. It should be noted that even though Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner was considered a Talmud and the star pupil of the Vilna Gaon, but he was a Talmud Chacham in his own right before he even met the Vilna Gaon. He was actually a Talmud of the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh was the Gaon of the generation, basically, that the Vilna Gaon said that in certain ways he's greater than me. And the Shagas Aryeh was the Gaon of the generation. And the Shagas Aryeh became, you know, he taught Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner a lot. And Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner, by the time he came to the Gaon of Vilna, he had already known Shas, like Baal Peh. He was already he was already the Rav of the city, of V'Lozhiner. So he was a complete Talmud Chacham in his own right. And he became a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon primarily in the Yonim of Kabbalah. Okay? Now, the historical background that's necessary to understand the Sefer of Nefesh HaChaim is the following. Let me, one more thing before that, is that Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner's son, who put out the Sefer after Reb Chaim's death, writes in the Hakdama, in the introduction to the Sefer, that even though Reb Chaim left over Chidushei Torah and Shuvis and Shiurim and everything, he left over, he was a tremendous anav and he didn't want to print anything and he had everything written down and everything like that. However, the only thing that he commanded me to print was the Nefesh HaChaim. That's what his son said. In fact, he says the last words of his life as he was passing away and he was on his deathbed. And he told me, I want you to make sure that you print the Nefesh HaChaim. The rest will happen with time. But you need to make sure you print the Nefesh HaChaim. He even says there that he delayed printing it by a year because he said that he got very busy with the yeshiva and he had to raise money for the yeshiva. And it was, you know, as we said, Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner opened up the Lozhin Yeshiva, which was the first yeshiva in modern times. And his son took it over and he said, I'm sure that my father would have rather me make sure the yeshiva is functioning than print Nefesh HaChaim. But then he says that, you know, he suffered tremendous tragedies in his family because he did not print the Nefesh HaChaim within the first year of the passing of because I didn't listen to my father and print it immediately. But anyway, this was the importance of the Sefer. Now, that means that the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim was Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner held, this was the key to everything. This is what you have to print. So what is it? It's a handbook on Avodas Hashem. But you'll read it and you're not going to see clearly how is this a handbook to Avodas Hashem. It's a lot of concept. What's he saying? If you have to take a shorish, like a string that holds together all the beads. So you have a beads, and when the beads are on a string, it creates a beautiful necklace. But what's the string that holds them all together? What's his point in the Sefer? So the point of the Sefer is the following. As we all know, at the time of the Vilna Gaon, the tremendous machlokes in Klal Yisrael between the Hasidim and in the early Hasidim. The early Hasidim posed a tremendous, in the eyes of the Vilna Gaon, a tremendous threat to Klal Yisrael. This was in the wake of the Shabbosai Tzvi movement and in the eagerness towards the eagerness and the, I guess, the leaning towards Kabbalah. And basically what happened in the Hasidic movements were two major chidushim that the Hasidim, the early Hasidim, implemented. And the Vilna Gaon held that both of them were very, very dangerous. And both of them were going to pose a threat to the continuity of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Vilna Gaon posed, as is well known, he went to extreme, almost militant measures against the Hasidim. He would not talk to them. He would not talk to the Alter Rebbe, to the Rav Shneur Zalman of Chabad, the head of who started Lubavitch Chabad. The Vilna Gaon did not even talk to him. He wanted to come to explain the Hasidim. He did not come. He did not accept his visit. And the Vilna Gaon ended up putting Hasidim in Cheirim. Excommunication, you are to have nothing to do with Hasidim. Okay? It's interesting to note, as many historians point out, that Reb Chaim Volozhiner himself did not sign on the Cheirim of the Gaon. He did not sign on that Cheirim. It was a Cheirim signed by all the Rabbanim headed by the Vilna Gaon. And obviously this was a very big shift for the Vilna Gaon. He left his comfort zone, right? He was a person who did not deal with public matters. He sat and learned. He didn't even have a yeshiva. He didn't have to meet him. He sat and learned his whole life. But this, he went out of his comfort zone and he put the Hasidim in Cheirim because he felt this was a threat to Klal Yisrael. And we'll explain why in a minute. Reb Chaim Volozhiner did not specifically do that. Josh, I see someone's in the sukkah in the koil. If there's anyone there, I'm in my office. If there's anyone else there waiting for me, but
that what?
I'm in my office. If there's anyone else waiting for me, but anyway, okay. So the
you come into your office?
No, you don't have to. I'm just saying, if there's anyone there waiting for me, you could come. Okay. So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner did not. Sign on that Cheirim. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he said the reason was because it would be inappropriate for him to sign the Cheirim underneath his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, as if to say the Vilna Gaon needs him to strengthen the Cheirim. But in reality, it's very possible that Reb Chaim Volozhiner took a little bit of a different approach than his Rebbe, and he did not excommunicate the Hasidim. But he did see, as did the Vilna Gaon, a tremendous threat to the Jewish people from the early Hasidim. What was the threat? So one was a philosophical issue and one was a Lamaisa issue. The philosophical issue was the issue of what's well known as the Machloikis regarding Tzimtzum. We're not going to talk about that because it's a Kabbalistic concept. And I won't have time to get involved. Maybe at some point we'll talk about it more. But there was a Machloikis how to define basically the place of Hashem in the universe in a Kabbalistic way. And this was the Machloikis B'negiat Tzimtzum. Okay? There's books written about this, and we're not going to talk about it right now. But there is a chapter in the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Gimel, which is devoted to discussing that issue. But there was the main issue, which is the more Lamaisa issue, which to a certain degree exists today as well, was the following. Chassidus was coming as a response to the status, to the state of Klal Yisrael. The state of Klal Yisrael at that time was that people were like doing things by rote. They were just following the motions. And the life, the fire, the bren in Klal Yisrael was a little dead. People were just doing their thing. And the Hasidim saw that people were kind of losing interest and not seeing the significance of their actions. And they weren't seeing how does this, what does this really do for me? What is this doing for me? What does this mean for me? And you know, who cares? I do put on tefillin. I don't put on tefillin. Like, well, what's the significance of all this? Okay. And therefore, Hasidim said, we got to touch the neshama. We got to get down into the neshama of things. We got to get people into the feeling and to the point that they were saying, people doing mitzvahs without ava v'yira, people who do mitzvahs without the real feeling behind the mitzvah is missing the point. That is not what the mitzvah is about. The mitzvah is not about the actions, about the ma'isim, about doing. The mitzvah is about feeling and connecting and feeling the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which that's important. That's the truth, right? But what was the sakana? What was the danger? The danger is, and this is what the Vilna Gaon held, the danger is that if you make everything about the feeling and the excitement and the geschmack, then you start losing sight of the details and you start, your scale starts tipping and saying, one second, if I do it like this, I'm going to feel more in geschmack. I'm going to feel more connected. So maybe I should do, yeah. For example, so a guy wakes up late. Okay, Zman Kriya Shema is 9:30. He wakes up, he looks at his alarm after pressing snooze twice. It's 9:20. He's like, look, if I get up now and say Kriya Shema, what type of Kriya Shema is that going to be? Is that going to be a Geshmaka Kriya Shema? Is that going to be, I'm just going to get up, tired, say it, and done. Come on, that's what Hashem wants from me. Hashem wants me to feel Geshmak, I have to feel connected. After another 2 hours of sleep and a good coffee, I'll feel much more connected. So what happens is that if you make everything about the connection and about the spirituality, then you lose sight of how does the mitzvah actually, about the details of the mitzvah, about the importance of following the halacha, the pratim. But if you make everything about the pratim, the details, then you lose sight of the bigger picture also. The Vilna Gaon held that giving people a sense of everything's about the ava, the yira, the fire, the bren, right, the neshama, people will defocus on the maisa, on the action. And by defocusing on the maisa, people will lose sight of what the importance of the world of the maisa itself. They'll lose sight of doing the mitzvah properly. And therefore, he said, this is not a good mahalach for Klal Yisrael to take. This is not, this, and in the early Hasidim, they would over-focus and overcompensate to try to teach people this, you know, davening on time, etc., but many other things. And therefore, you know, this was something that was a tremendous, the Vilna Gaon held, tremendous sakana by over-focusing on the, you know, on the ava, the yira, the sentimental part of Avodas Hashem, you lose sight of the importance of the maisa. Okay. Furthermore, the Chassidim put a tremendous emphasis on Kabbalah, because again, Kabbalah allows you to kind of see the connection, feel connected, get into things. But if you spend your whole day learning Kabbalah, then you can still remain in Amaretz. You won't know anything. So you're going to end up again over focusing on Kabbalah, and it feels good and it's nice and you feel like, wow, you know, but then again, you're missing the basics. Okay. So what did Rav Chaim Volozhiner do in the Sefer? Rav Chaim Volozhiner basically, and we'll discuss tomorrow how he addressed these points. Okay. How he addressed these points, but put it this way, you know, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner used the very sources that the Hasidim used, which is sources in the Zohar and in the Arizal and in Kabbalah, which he learned from the Vilna Gaon. Okay, he was a tremendous Makobo. And he used those sources to prove that that's not the case. That even, no, don't lose sight of the importance of what we're doing on a simple level. Every simple act that we do, even on a poshut level, carries tremendous weight with it. Okay, and now is the point of the Sefer. Ultimately, is that the key to our avoda is not so much in our feeling. Our feeling it's good. You don't want to feel good. Feel good. You don't want to feel good. The key to the avoda is the avoda itself. And if he would have just said this in the name of the Vilna Gaon, it wouldn't have gotten him very far, because the Chassidim were arguing with the Vilna Gaon. It wouldn't have helped. But the fact that he used Kabbalistic sources to basically prove a non-Kabbalistic approach to Avodas Hashem, that was the Chochmah of the Sefer. So the Chochmah of the Sefer is how he uses all the Kabbalistic sources to essentially prove that you don't need to do Avodas Hashem in a Kabbalistic way. You do Kabbalah Avodas Hashem in a Pashut way, in a simple way. The simplicity of it is what makes it important. Okay, so tomorrow I want to discuss a little bit the structure of the Sefer and explain how each part is really addressing this point. But the reason why this is important is because this introduction, because as we see things in the Sefer, you have to understand, what is he really saying? What's he referring to? It's like, well, don't do this. Who is doing that? And the answer is, there were people doing that. There were people saying that that's what's important. When he says, one, do not make the mistake of thinking that this is pshat, who would think that that is pshat? he's referring to a mistake that was out there. This is not purely an academic sefer. It's a sefer which was very hands-on, and that's why he told his son, you have to print this. This is a handbook. This is not just an esoteric book talking about the cosmos and the universe. This is a sefer of practical avodas Hashem, telling people, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is the philosophy. This is the hashkafa of what we're doing, and this is how to do it. But sometimes, you know, you have to keep in mind, who is he talking to? Okay, so I think that's that. Tomorrow, I want to get into a little more detail. How did he address these issues? Okay, and the structure of the sefer, because again, I think the Akdama piece is very important. I guess we'll pick it up. Okay, but this is the concept behind the sefer. All right, Rabbi Isai, we're good. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we will.